did it. Oops. If you have your Bibles this morning, you will want to turn to the Gospel of John, as we've already read, first chapter, verses 1 through 5. As I shared with the first service this morning, we're changing the message just a little bit. It's supposed to be how God's Word can change us. But God wanted me to talk to you this morning about why God's Word can change us. You'll do the how God's Word changes you in your small group. But I think this is something, one of those things that I think is really important, because we've got to really understand what God's Word really is. Yes, amen. And so that's one of the questions I want you to deal with this morning, if you will. What does God's Word mean to you? And I just want you to think about that. And I hope by the time we get done, you'll probably have changed your mind that it's not just a bunch of words in a book to read. It's a lot more. So we're going to look at why the Bible can change us. Why? Every one of us knows that this book that we call the Bible is not just a book. It's a lot more than just a book, isn't it? So much more. It's one of the reasons why it's called the Word of God. In fact, if you want to know a little bit about why this book can change, these words can change, consider the very fact that the entire universe was created by the Word of God. The entire universe was created by, let that kind of soak in. The entire universe was created by the Word of God. And the Bible tells us very clearly that this unlimited power that God Himself has this unlimited power. And it was through the Word of God, because He's got this unlimited power, that He spoke everything into existence. He didn't go, well, let's see, I got to stir this up and mix this here and cook it a little while and make this happen and all the rest of the stuff. He spoke it, and it happened. I want us to watch just a very short video clip this morning, and then we'll continue to look at the thing that we call the Word of God. So grace, if you will.
There is a God. He rules the world, and He has spoken. The importance of the Bible lies in its being the very words of God written to us. The Bible carries absolute authority as to the factualness of God's revelation.
If you have your Bibles, or you can read along with me up here. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through all things, through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the beginning was the Word. If we looked in the Greek, and you look in the Greek and you find two little words, ho logos, a little O with a little character over top of it, and the word logos afterwards, means the Word. It doesn't mean a word. It means the Word. Amen? The Word. And it's tied directly through syntax in the Greek language to two other little teeny words. Hotheos, which means the God, not a God. The God, the Word of the living God. You know, what's more important, that's so important. And then when you start to wrap your head around it, you realize that the Word was and the Word is the one who is called He, Jesus Christ. He's referred to even in this passage. He's identified as the one who is with God. In the Bible, when it says in the beginning, we have to realize, and we've got to go way, way back. You realize infinity runs two ways and never stops. It runs backwards, it runs forward. Amen? That in the beginning is back there on that side of it. Before anything at all, the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. Before there was anything. This is the one is referring to the whole Logos, Jesus Christ, the one who is called the Word. And He was with God, the Bible goes on and says. The Word was, and it was with God forever. And I think this is really important. The Word was with God. It's talking about Jesus Christ. Amen. Is with, was with, is with. He's one with. Amen? Jesus was not some afterthought. He wasn't some created being. He was there. He was God Himself with God. He is one with God. Amen? He wasn't, again, that created being, like some of the religions say. He wasn't just some good teacher who came down the pike and who was a prophet, like some other religions say. He is, and He was, and He will be, the Word. Thank goodness. Do you agree? Listen to this. You want to kind of help pull this together. John goes on and helps kind of pull it together. And he says, and the Word became flesh. And He dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, the glory of the only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is full of grace. The Word is full of truth. The Word is alive, and His name is Jesus Christ. This is a living book. These are living words. We'll look at this a little bit more too. But out of this, when you start to wrap your head around this and you start to realize, you know what, when I'm sitting down here, I'm reading living words. I'm reading the words of God Himself. The words of the one who is called the Word. And you start to realize that there's power wrapped up in every one of those words. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? If you have never thought about it, I hope you think about it this morning, because it'll change you. This is God. And he is indeed the one who's called the Word. And his name's Jesus. He's been with God since the beginning. He wasn't created. He is. Amen. That got him in a lot of trouble when he said, I am, too, later on, didn't it? Yeah. He is the second person of the Trinity. Not like this, God, Father, one, Jesus, two, Holy Spirit, someplace down there, three. He is one. One with one mind, one purpose, one will. The Holy Spirit won't tell you to do something that Jesus doesn't tell you to do, that the Father doesn't tell you to do. They're of one purpose. They're of one will. Thank goodness. Well, John goes on and writes, and it's powerful, and we just can't ever remember, and this is something else too. We cannot forget the fact that John didn't sit down one day and say, you know what, I think I'm going to write a book. I think I'm going to write a book about Jesus, and I'll see if it'll sell. He didn't do that. He received his inspiration from God himself. He received what to write from God himself. Under divine inspiration, then, John sat down and penned so we would have this part of the New Testament. And John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You hear that? That kind of nails it. People that say, well, Jesus is just a nice guy. No, Jesus is God. Amen? Amen. And here's where we're going to see some more power. Through him. Listen to this. Through him, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, through him all things were made, and without him there was nothing that was made. Through him all things were made. All things, not some things. All things. He spoke it into existence. You know, like I said, he just didn't take his little chemistry set and start mixing things together and got something to happen. He spoke it. He said it. And it happened. If you don't think so, go read the Genesis account. Genesis chapter 1. Like the thing it was talking about, it said, there's so many of these God saids. In the beginning, and it said, then God said, let there be something. What did he say, let there be? Let there be light. And what happened? It went on and said, and there was light. It didn't say that, gee, God said, I got to go out and find some really high-powered light bulbs. He spoke it. He spoke light into existence. It goes on and says, and then God said, let there be an expanse. What, hear the universe being created? And then he said, let the waters be gathered up. And then he said, let the vegetation sprout. And he said, let the lights be in the expanse. Talking about the stars, the suns, all of the planets out there, the lights in the heavenlies. Did anybody get to see the lunar eclipse? Jenny and I looked and looked and looked and looked. I mean, they said it was, what day was it? Tuesday? Wednesday? Yeah, Friday. Supposed to be Friday night. We looked and looked and looked. I mean, I don't know. Even into after midnight, and never did see it. But the one thing I saw was it was a very clear night. And when you look out up here on a beautiful clear night, you see all those lights that God hung in the sky. All those stars. All those lights. Let there be lights in the expanse. Abraham tried to count them one time. Probably got up to a pretty good number and went, I can't go any higher. There's too many. And we haven't even begun to find them all. Wow. And then he just didn't say, well, let's see, I think I'll take a little bit of this and a little bit. He said, let the waters teem with the swarms of the living things. And the waters now had living things in them. It's where the fishes and all of those type of things came from. Then he said, let the earth bring forth living creatures. Birds, animals. Powerful, huh? That's power. Do you agree? I mean, that is power. When you can speak and something happens. How many of us wish sometimes we could speak and things would happen? How many moms and dads wish sometimes you could speak and something would happen? God spoke and it happened. It was created. And then God said, and this was the crown, he said, let us, oh, ho, ho, I love that one. Boy, he pulls the Trinity together right there. He didn't say he spoke. He said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit said, let us now make man in our own image. That's exciting. And you and I are here today because of what God started. That's all things, and that's power. I'm sorry. I mean, it's just really powerful. That is action. God at work. Woo. Goes on, and you know, but Jesus, you know what though? But Jesus got a lot more than just creation power. He didn't stop once he created. God didn't stop once he created. Listen to what John says in chapter 12, verse 17. And he said, now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. That is some real power too, folks. That's some power that was recorded by living beings who have seen. And that is real power. Here's the word of God who commands Lazarus, who is stretched out on a slab in a tomb, dead as a doornail. And the word of God says, Lazarus, come forth. That is total power over life and death. As, I mean, that's natural. He created. Amen? But the power of God did not stop working when he got done creating. That power that God has and will continue to have is available today. He heals. He heals. It's by his power that he heals. We've got people in this church who had cancer several times over. Had one of them this morning in first service. And she said, me. He healed. Completely. Wow. Had another one of our saints in the first service said something like 50 some odd years ago. She was flat on her back. She couldn't move. The doctors wanted to do surgery. This is 50 some odd years ago. Back surgery 50 some odd years ago. I bet that was a joy. She said she's lying there. She can't move. But she had people praying for her all over. And the doctor said, without the surgery, you will never move again. She had people all over the United States praying for her. The doctor came back in about 3 days later, and it was getting closer to surgery day, and she's moving. And he was kind of dumbfounded. And she walked out a couple days later under her own power. And she's in her 90s today, still going strong. The Bible is just full of examples of God's healing power at work. One of the ones that came to my mind, I'll always love the story anyway, it comes out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 46. It's all about blind Bartimaeus. I just love it. What did Jesus do? He restored his sight, didn't he? This is the God who can heal, restore sight, the God who can raise from the dead. I'll be able to tell you what, our Jesus is still in the business of healing broken bodies, all for the glory of God. He can remove a cancer. He can mend broken heart valves. He can cause the blind to see. He can even take disease that people have in their bodies and take it completely out. This is Jesus, the spoken word of God, who can heal your spirit, who can heal my spirit, who can heal the spirit of any man, woman, boy, or girl. And he can forgive sins. Thank goodness. This is the word of God, Jesus Christ himself, who said to a paralytic, it was recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, he said, your sins are forgiven. Take up your pallet and walk. That was kind of a double one, wasn't it? Wow. This is the God who has the power, who has the authority to forgive sin and to heal the broken relationship that mankind has with God because of that sin. That's power. This is the same Jesus who saves. He saves. In John, go on down a little bit further in chapter 1, you get down to verses 12 and 13, it says, yet to all who did receive him, this is the power to save. To all who did receive him. And that applies to every man, woman, boy, and girl today. To everyone who will receive him. To those who believed in his name. That means they trusted in Jesus Christ. They trusted in the fact that he shed his blood and that paid the price. There was no more price that had to be paid. Jesus did it completely. Those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Praise him, folks. Praise him. I'm a child, you're a child, as long as we know Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. And he says, anybody who believes in my name and trusts me will be a child of God. Because I paid the price for them. I made them and I fixed them. Praise God. This is the same God, the same one, the Word of God, who himself was dying on a cross, pouring out his blood for your sins, who says to a thief who repented on the cross next to him, son, you're going to be with me in paradise today. Because that thief had accepted what Jesus Christ had done. This is the same one, our Lord, our Savior, who came himself onto this earth, left glory, and came incarnate and walked on this planet 2,000 years ago. This is the one who brought people back to life. This is the one who commanded the winds and commanded the seas, be calm. And they were. That's power. This is the one who cast out demons. This is the one that the demons recognized who he was. Too bad people don't recognize who he is as quickly as the demons do. Amen. This is the one who was even feared by the demons. Please, Lord, don't cast us into the abyss. Amen. This is the one who healed hurting people simply through his word. That's power. That's power. This is the one himself who, by the very power of God himself, dead, buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, he arose. God himself arose. Whoa, that's power. And a little while later, he ascended it back into heaven. And because he resurrected, folks, we've got a hope that one day we're going to, if we know him, we'll be with him too for all of eternity. That's the word of God. And folks, he's got power. And you know what? That's the power that's in this book. That power is in here. And we receive these, they're living words right there. They're active words. They're His words. And they will speak to you when you receive them. Remember we talked about that last week, you know, turning on our ears so we receive the word. When we receive the word into our hearts, the word of God can change your life. It can change anybody's life. Those are active words, living words. John went and he said, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." If you want real life, get into the word and let the word speak into you. Have you experienced that? Are you experiencing that as you sit down and read your Bible? He can renew even the withered, most withered up soul. He can heal. I think the writer of Hebrews goes ahead and kind of nails it in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And he says, "The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." Amen? Living and active. That's what this word is. It's living and active. And it means to live. Folks, that's why I'm telling you, this is not a bunch of words written in black or red ink on a bunch of pieces of paper. This is the word of the living God Himself recorded, and they're living, they're alive, and they will change lives. And God communicates through His word to us. When people tell me, "Pastor, I just don't have time to read God's Bible, and He doesn't talk to me at all," there's a reason. They're not in His word. Because His word will talk to them. It'll speak to them. I told you a little bit last week. The Holy Spirit goes to work in a believer's life. And He illumines the word. He illuminates the word to us. That just does it. Amen? I know the more I read my Bible, the more I read God's word, the more I realize those are not just somebody just didn't sit there and run them through a printing press and, gee, here they are, stamped them out, there they are. Every one of the Bibles with the living word of God in it has living word. Not just ink on a page. They were given to us under the divine inspiration of God Himself and illuminated by the Holy Spirit in our mind. Our Bibles are living, they're active, and it's the communication of God to us. So often what we want to do is we just want to go pray and say, "Well, God, talk to me, because I don't have time." You know what? We need to get into His Word so He does talk to us, because that's where He talks to you. Just maybe, if you spend some time with the Lord in His Word, you might hear Him talk. You might hear Him speak. And you might realize that the Bible is, in fact, the living word of the living God who wants to speak to little old me. Maybe I'll actually want to take some time when I realize that He wants to speak to me from His word. I might just take the time to sit down and talk with Him and let Him talk to me through His word. Writer of Hebrews goes on and he says, it's active. It's the word that we get energy from. Energy, high-powered energy. It's active. It's got that energy to change things. Because the word of God can change things that nothing else can. The word of God can get down into that rotten sin meat that we have in our lives that's residing deeply in there. It can help you or I become the best parent that we could ever imagine to be. It will help us become the best husband, the best wife that we can ever imagine can be. And that word of God can go where no physician can ever go, because it's not only active, it's sharper, and it penetrates even to the dividing soul and the spirit, the joints, the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of heart. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't want to get into God's word, because God's word is going to convict them of what God wants to change in them. It penetrates to the soul. That means it can cut right to the heart of the issue. That means it can literally point out exactly what is wrong in my life and show me exactly what I need to do to change it. That's the power of God's word. But thank goodness it's not like a chainsaw. How many of y'all use a chainsaw? Not very exacting, are they? I mean, you just lay them against that tree or whatever it is you're going to, logs or timber or whatever. And, I mean, the chips fly, don't they? Not very exacting. I wouldn't want to try to do woodworking with a chainsaw. Would you? Be kind of tough. But the word of God placed in the hands of the great physician, the word of God, Jesus Christ himself, will do the precision work in your heart, in my heart, in anybody's heart. And it can change things that you and I can't change on our own. This is why the word of God is powerful. So I'd ask you a question. Is God speaking to you this morning? Is he saying, hey, you got this, and I want to fix it. I want to talk to you. I don't want you just yapping at me all the time saying, Lord, I need this. Lord, I want that. He's saying, I want to talk to you. I want to get into your life because I made you. I made you to have a relationship with me. And I know you better than you know yourself. Get into my word and let me talk to you. I want to communicate with you. I want to open up some doors that you haven't even imagined, because I'm powerful. I created you. I saved you. He's saying that. He's saying, I want that relationship. Will you do your part? Will you open up your Bible and let me communicate with you? Will you let me set you free from the anger that you're hanging on to, that you've been hanging on to for 40 years? Will you let me set you free from your attitude about work, your attitude about your brothers, your attitude about your mom, your dad, your kids, or whoever? Will you let me set you free? He says, I want to. Let me. Let him. Let him this morning. All you got to do is sit down and talk with him and ask him, and then listen to him as he speaks to you from your word, from his word. Let him. Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for the word itself. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the word. Thank you for what he did. Thank you for what he continues to do. Thank you. Father, help each one of us to realize that your word truly is alive. It truly is active. And if you don't use it like a chainsaw on us, thank goodness, we'd be a mess. But thank goodness that you want to use it to set us free, to help us, to be the man, the woman, the husband, the wife, the mom, the dad, the aunt, the uncle, the grandparent that you want us to be, that you want us to be the employee that you want us to be, the employee who can show Jesus Christ to folks around him or her. Lord, help us to realize that. Help us to be the people that you've called us to be. Help us to show your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be people of the Word. And Father, I just lift this up. And if there's anyone here this morning that the Holy Spirit's calling to and telling them they need to turn to you, Lord Jesus, that they need to turn to you and ask your forgiveness, I pray this morning, Father, that they would do so. And they would invite you to come into their heart, to be their Savior, to be their Lord. So they would be set free totally and absolutely, knowing that they have that guaranteed future with you forever. Father, if there be one this morning who's here, or several, or who may be watching on the internet, I would pray, Father, that they would do that. They would just respond to you this morning. Father, for the rest of us, we live with the hurts, the hang-ups, the habits, the all sorts of stuff, the junk in our lives, those angers, those hatreds, the unforgiving spirits. Help us, Father, set us free from that. Help us to go into your Word, go deeply into it, and allow your Word to do that work that only you can do through it. Help us to do that. Father, as we continue with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, if there's any decisions that do need to be made, and if there's some that need to be made public, Father, I pray that we wouldn't hold back, that we would in fact come. It could be that we just need to come and be at the altar before you this morning and allow you to work in our hearts. I pray, Father, that we would do so. And I just lift this up in Jesus' name. Our praise team is going to play for a moment or two. And if you need to respond, either in your seat, do so there. If you need to come and use the altar, do so. If there's a public decision that you need to make, please come and let me know. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Word, your written Word. Help us to be mindful of it. Help us to see that it is truly communication from you to us. Help us spend that time each and every day in that communication with you. And I lift this up. I pray, Father, that each life that is here this morning will be richly blessed as they spend time with you. May you do the things that you desire. And may they prosper very abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen.